All week I've been thinking about the fact that we've just been celebrating Independence Day, right? Did y'all have a good time?
Yes.
Anybody do anything special besides go to Nebraska? Flying to Nebraska for a whole week? Well, we consider July the 4th as our Independence Day, which was the day that our nation was born, right? That's the day that we celebrate that we've had independence from the motherland, right? And we have a very festive time with fireworks, parties, get-togethers, barbecues, anything to celebrate the fact that it's the 4th of July. There's usually a lot of hollering and cutting loose and just having a good old time, right? Well, that's the way it ought to be if you're celebrating something. If you really believe what happened, then you should be happy and you should be celebrating. And the world knows how to do it, don't they? Sometimes we need a little experience with it, though, when it comes to our spiritual independence. Anyway, one of the reasons we broke loose from the motherland was that we were being taxed without representation. So we weren't very happy about that. So once we became free, we had to make our own laws, right? We made our laws to govern our land. It freed us to become one nation under God, in whom we trust. Independence Day to the slaves meant that they could choose where they would go to work. They could get paid for the work they did. Beatings were no longer the normal, and families could stay together. No more going down to the auction block and there goes Dad or there goes Big Brother. Or they had the right then to be a family, to be together. And so there was a lot of celebrating when that took place. Well, what does Independence Day mean to us in the spiritual realm? And that's what we're going to be talking about today. What are we free from? Freedom from what? Independence Day is the day that we were born again. So I want to start today in reading in John chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me to John chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So, we see that when you're a slave of sin, you don't enjoy the things in the spirit realm that is given to you once you have been saved. You see, it takes the Son to set you free. And that's not S-U-N. That's S-O-N. The Son of who? Has to be the Son of God. When he makes you free, you will be free indeed. So that would be an Independence Day, wouldn't it? If you're set free from the bondages of sin, then you have an Independence Day. Let's look down at verse 51, in the same chapter. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Wow, that's quite a big statement. Well, he must not have been talking about physical death at that very moment, because we see people die around us all the time, don't we? And we've seen other scriptures that says, well, the last enemy to be defeated will be death. So he had to be talking about our spiritual death. And we're going to be finding out just what this spiritual death is all about. Let's go to Romans 5. That's just a couple books over here. And we're going to start in verse 12. We're going to read 12 and then skip down to 17 to 21. When you go home, you can read all these scriptures, but you have to study them to really understand them all. So, verse 12 says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So we know that that one man was Adam. Adam was the first man. God had created everything and gave it to Adam. But then we see that Adam decided to listen to Satan, and he gave over everything to Satan just because he didn't really understand what was happening. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. As I read these, I want you to just let these words sink into your heart. And I know a lot of you may have heard this over and over and over again, but that's how it becomes implanted in us, and that's how we become aware of the reality of it, by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, you know, Adam was a mere man, and he made the mistake of listening to Satan. And so he gave over this whole kingdom, the whole world that we, as we know it, to Satan. But Jesus came along, and he paid the penalty for what Adam did. The penalty for what we have done to continue to sin like Adam has. Jesus paid that penalty, and because of that, we can become righteous and live forever, for eternity. That's quite something. This is what we're talking about as far as independence. So this separation, I wanted to talk a little bit about the spiritual death, because sometimes we don't always understand it. But, you know, spiritual death is not going to hell. Some people say you're going to die and go to hell. Well, that's where you'll end up, true. But hell was not made for God's people, the people of the world. It was made for Satan and all the angels that had followed after him. But what happens is spiritual death, which is a separation, totally separated from God for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, it was not just the physical suffering that he did for us and the loss of his life. See, he was separated from his Father God. That's why in Matthew 27:46, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then darkness just covered the whole earth. It was just totally black. Now we know that God is light. Well, you see, when Jesus was there on the cross, and he had all the sin of the world put on him, God could not look at that sin. And he had to turn his back on his only son. And when that happened, darkness just covered the earth, because God is light. If his face is not looking towards us, then guess what? We are in darkness. There is no light. And the pain and suffering that we go from that separation is worse than the depths of hell. To know that you cannot reach out, you cannot touch God. He's not there. He's not there for you. And then we find out that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. What he did for us, the price that he paid for us, that's the only way. But the world doesn't realize this, and they have to be told. So, you see, Jesus was actually cut away from the Father. He had no connection to the Father at that time. He had no rights to the Father. So, it was a very dark day in eternity. Total separation. Now, it was only because God the Father reached down into hell and pulled Jesus back out that we have the right to be saved. Because you see, if God had not done that, Jesus would have died there with all of our hope would have died with him and would have been gone. But Jesus went there to pay the price for our sins, because you see, Adam sinned, and whether we like it or not, it's not our choice. We are in the kingdom of Satan until we make a choice. Then why is not everyone saved? Because there are two parts to it. Two parts to freedom. If you want to experience freedom, there's two parts that have to be completed. Now, we've got one part that is the fight that takes place before the freedom that comes along. Now, before independence came, Independence Day for our nation, there was a fight. You couldn't just, say, well, we're not going to be part of England anymore. We are going to be our own free nation. Well, maybe England would have something to say about that, right? So there was a fight, a bitter fight, and it went on for some time. So there was a war for us to become a nation. There was a war that took place before the slaves were freed. Do you think the owners of the slaves wanted to just give them up? All that free labor they had going? No. So someone had to fight for their independence. Do you know that the slaves couldn't fight for themselves? It had to be somebody fighting for them. So people that had pity on them fought for them. And so therefore, the slaves were freed. So there was a war in the depths of hell for our salvation. Somebody took pity on us and decided to pay the price. And that somebody was Jesus Christ. He left his glory, his throne above. He left everything. He didn't have to do that. You know, God could have just wiped everything out again and started all over. Or decided, enough of this, we'll just play with planets. You know, have you ever looked into the sky at night? It's awesome. I'm reading this book right now. It has all these pictures of the different stars and the constellations and stuff. And it's just like, how can all that be there? God made it. Well, it's beautiful. But you see, he wanted somebody to fellowship with. That's why he considers us important. He can't really fellowship with the stars. He can make them do beautiful things. But when we're talking about a relationship, that's something else. You have to have a somebody that has a free will to make up their own mind. Well, the second part for independence is our participation. We know that when our nation became a nation, many things had to be put into place. And even today, we still are protecting our freedom, right? It's something that you consider precious and you guard it and you send your young men who give their lives to protect freedom for the whole body of people. When the slaves were freed, they had to get up and go off into the unknown. They didn't have the security of knowing, where's my next meal going to come from? Sure, there's a lot of things that they could not have to have now. They didn't have to get beaten. You know, they didn't have to do something against their will. But they still had to get up and go out and now make it for themselves. Well, when we want spiritual freedom, when we want a new life, then there's something that we have to do in order to gain that spiritual life. We know that Jesus paid the price, but not everyone is saved. We have to accept it. We have to do something with it. And that's where we turn to John chapter 3. I want you to really look at the scriptures, even though you may know them. It doesn't do you any harm to look at them again. John chapter 3. Now, if we put this in context, he's talking to Nicodemus, who had read the scriptures over and over and over. He was very well versed. But Jesus brought him right back to the scriptures. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then drop down to verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, when a baby is born, that is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it's a new being in the spirit realm. And then go down to verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, like many people say, but that the world through him might be saved. God loved the world. And that world comes right down to one individual. One person. The world is made up of many people, but he was interested in one person. That's you and you and you and me. Each one of us is who God loved and paid the price for. Now that makes us pretty valuable. Each one of us is very valuable in the sight of God. And we've heard it before, if there was only one person on the earth, that Jesus would have still done the same thing. He would have come and died for them. Well, it's true. It's not just a cliche. He would have. And you are very important to him. And why is he having this message today? It's because each one of us is important to him. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here's our part. We have to believe. Belief is not mental consent. Mental consent is from the mind. And that's what I want to explain to you. That belief is something from the heart. You can't reason it out. Reasoning is of the mind. If you're trying to figure it all out, you'll never get it. So why try to figure it out? We're not smart enough. We're not God. But we have to believe in our heart that what God is saying in his word is true. And then if you are believing from the depths of your heart, it will cause you to be motivated to act upon it. You will do something about it if you truly believe. See, mental assent is just agreeing with what somebody else has said or what their experience is. But it's not having experienced it for yourself. It's not making that decision on your own. You say, okay, they believe God and they got such and such and such, and so now I agree it ought to be mine too. That's not belief. That's mental assent. That, yeah, something happened for them. And just because something happened for them doesn't mean you can get it. It has to be something in your heart that you said, yes, I understand. I'm going to search out this word of God until I know that I know that I know deep down in here that it's real. It's real for me. There's many ways of showing that we believe. for one thing, we saw in here that we confessed with our mouth. When you believe something, you've got to tell somebody. It's not a duty, okay? It's like, okay, now I got to go confess, and then that Jesus is my Lord, so then I'm saved. Well, guess what? That's mental assent. That's not truly believing. Believing in your heart is, wow, he did that for me? I got to let somebody else know. I've got to be part of this. It's real. It's within me. See, it's not a work. It comes out of love. Love for what he has done for us. If you go around trying to keep all the rules and regulations in here, for one thing, you'll get exhausted. And you'll give up. But when you've experienced it in your heart and becomes real to you, it's Independence Day. There's going to be shouting. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be laughter. There's going to be joy. There's going to be dancing and singing. Why? Because for eternity, we're going to be with God. We're not going to be separated. For eternity, we get to enjoy the things that God has created for us. For eternity. And guess when eternity starts? The day you were born again. We don't wait until we die and go to heaven to enjoy the things of God. We experience eternity right now. It's worth celebrating. Why? Because we're no longer dead. We're no longer separated from God. Yeah, we might feel a few aches and pains every now and then because our body gets older. But guess what? Even God can take care of that. See, he's given us a help. He's left the Holy Spirit with us to help us. All those things that we go through in life, why do we have the Holy Spirit? To help us along our way. But here we are. The law in Romans 8, 1 or 2, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. You're not bound to the things of the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. You're walking according to the Spirit of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So because of that freedom, I can rejoice. I can be so happy. And I can tell somebody else. I can be part of the kingdom of God. And you know, it doesn't take much to make that transition. Because see, Jesus did the big part. He did the hard part. All we have to do is say, okay, Lord, I believe what your word says. I believe that you did this for me. I don't necessarily understand it all, and I may never understand it all, but your word has said it, so I believe it. And so therefore, I'm going to receive you into my heart. I'm going to ask you to come in, make me new, make me fresh, make me live again. He wanted us to have life. He wanted to set us free from all the bondages that Satan would do. Why do we do things that we know hurts us? Why do we hang around with people that we know aren't good for us? You know, Jesus came to set us free from that. He came to give us liberty, to give us freedom. So that's what this is all about. So every time we have Independence Day, let's not just get caught up on the fact that we're a new nation, but we are a new kingdom of God within us. We are alive within us. Let's make a day an Independence Day. Maybe You don't remember the day you got saved? You can make a day and say, this is going to be my Independence Day. I'm going to rejoice because I am born again.